Thanks, mate. G'day, Nom. Good to see the hecklers back in the front row. Woo! First time in living memory that I did not tell any jokes on Wednesday night and Friday morning. Subject matter on Friday morning was very serious. We studied about the last words of Jesus Christ from the cross. And what a sobering and inspiring message that is to meditate on the words of Jesus, starting with, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Hallelujah. On Wednesday night, we studied the divine exchange. He took my sin, He gave me His forgiveness, He took my sickness, He gave me His health. And we need today, I want to encourage you today, challenge you today, in fact, to appropriate the promise of God. Don't just learn about it intellectually, agree with it philosophically, believe it emotionally, experience it physically. That's what I want you to do today. I'm going to challenge you today, and a demonstration of this, I want to tell you, was a pastor, and he was saying to the congregation, you know, what we need is appropriating faith. And all the little boys in the front row, this one over there, they're saying, that's a big word, appropriating. And so he said, well, look, say I was to say to you, if you really believe that God gives everything that He has to you, all you need to do is reach out and take it. That's appropriating faith, and everyone's sitting there. But little Johnny suddenly got up and, oh, see what happened? Appropriating faith. Johnny didn't just believe what he was hearing, he acted upon what he was hearing. And that's what we need to do. As I'm going to go through today, some of the benefits of the resurrection, 8 benefits of the resurrection, I want you to appropriate, like Johnny today. Oh, by the way, please give that back to Pastor Matt later. I borrowed it from him. That was a joke too. I knew if it was mine, you'd keep it. So I just got it back. Anyway, but God is not an Indian giver. He doesn't take back what He's given to you. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Peace that God gives. Hey, and thank you, Rosie and Christina, for preaching my message. I'm just going to do a closing prayer and we can all go home. I tell you what, Rosie and Christina, you hit the nail on the head, and you'll find that a lot of it's to what I'm going to talk about. Another aspect of faith, when we pray, we need to believe that God is going to do something through extenuating circumstances. God may not do everything the way that you think. Like that little boy just got himself a watch because he was bold enough to believe what the pastor was saying. And the real story, the pastor let him keep the watch. Because today you need to send a note home to the parents, right? But in any case, there was a pastor, he had a little kitty cat. Oh, and he loved this little kitty cat. And one day, as kitty cats are wont to do, the kitty cat climbed the tree. Have you been in a situation? Who's had a kitty cat?
Oh, the rest of you are missing out big time. Kitty cats are great.
I got a whole bunch of kitty cat jokes, but I'm not going to go there today. I'm going to tell you a story about appropriating faith. So this pastor had this kitty cat, and he really loved this kitty cat. And one day this little kitty cat climbed up into a tree, and he's stuck in the fork of the tree, and the tree's too skinny to climb, so it might break. And the pastor didn't have a big ladder, so he thought, how am I going to get kitty cat down from the tree? So he had a pickup. He drove the pickup out a few meters away from the tree. He roped, what do you call the thing you hook the caravan to? Tow bar. I've just got a sedan, not a pickup. So he roped the rope to the tow bar. Yep, there's a name for that round bit. That's it. And he tied the other end to the tree. So he thought, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just get my wife down by the tree. And as soon as the tree gets low enough, she can reach out and grab the kitty cat. Sound like a plan. Anyway, he's going, he's driving away from the tree. Driving away. The trees start to creak. However, trees creak, I don't know. Trees Creek, yeah. And suddenly, the rope snapped. Meow! And there goes Kitty Cat. He drove down the road a bit, couldn't find it. He thought, well, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Praise the name of the Lord. Bet you that's not what his wife said. That's what he said. A few weeks later, he was out in visitation. A couple of weeks later, he called on Mrs. Jones. And her son's name happened to be Johnny too. And, you know, old style house, he got in the front door and he walked down the corridor towards the living room. And who did he see in the corridor? But his own little kitty cat. So he didn't say anything. He just said to the lady, "Oh, Mrs. Jones, a lovely kitty cat you got there. How long have you had it?" She said, "Oh, about 2 weeks." "You're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this. 2 weeks ago, little Johnny came to me and he said, 'Mummy, Mummy, Mummy, can we have a kitty cat?' And Mummy said, 'Look, I've told you once, I've told you 100 times, we can't afford a kitty cat.' He said, 'But I asked God.'" Kids, they know how to play with your emotions. "But I asked God." So after, in the afternoon, they went out in the cornfield, and they're out in the cornfield picking corn. And little Johnny says, "But Mummy," Mummy knows what's happening next, "can I have a kitty cat?" She said, "Well, let's get down on our knees and you pray. God, if it be your will, please give me a kitty cat right now. Meow." That's the story. When you pray, you need to believe. And not just believe, but appropriate. Reach out and hold it. It's good that kids are out, because I would have given a lot of kids some ideas. Now to the serious part of the message. 8 things that Jesus' resurrection means to us. Now, resurrection, as Rosie so vividly and emotionally portrayed to us, is the heart of the Christian message. The resurrection, along with the crucifixion of Christ, are the elements of Christianity that make Christianity, if you're going to say a faith — I don't like to use the word religion because it's a bad word in Christian circles — but true religion inside of God is to take care of widows and orphans. So there's good religion. But Christianity stands out, Christ stands out, above every other prophet and philosopher. Even if we took them all at face value and said what they're saying is true, there's no one that says, "I am God, I come from God, I am going to die for your sins and I'm going to rise again on the third day," and he did it. You visit Jerusalem, you visit an empty grave, you visit the other places where I've lived. If you go to Shandong, you can see Confucius' grave. You go to other places, you can see the other players. I won't mention them. I'm not politically correct. I just don't want to go there. But you see, that's the difference, the empty grave. He is risen. Why seek you the living among the dead? He is risen. Go tell his brothers and Peter, he is risen. Too often, we as sons and daughters of God look through at the resurrection as a historical event or as a future event. Now, what do I mean by that? Historically, we know that 2,000 years ago, about 1,992 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rose from the dead. And he ever lives to make intercession for us at the right hand of God. And so we look at the resurrection in a historical aspect. And that's okay. Paul commands us to do that when we take communion. "For as often as you do this, you to show the Lord's death until he comes." So he refers to the first resurrection and the second resurrection in one sentence. But let's take a quick look at how we limit ourselves. The past view, of course, it's not wrong to view the resurrection historically, because, as I said, it's one of the founding principles of the Christian faith. We believe in the deity of Christ, that he's God, that he died for our sins in place of us, that he was physically buried and spiritually descended into hell. What happened in those 3 days, the jury's out on that, so we're not going to go there. But he rose again. And he ever lives to make ascension for us. And Paul says, and the Hebrew author says, Hebrews 2:9, "But we see him for a little while made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." Now that's what we talked about on Friday. He tasted death for everyone. In communion, as we mentioned, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Yeah, the verses are up there. So the curse of death has that should have fallen on billions of wayward souls, swallowing up eternally, instead fell on the Savior. And the Savior said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Why did Jesus die? Because it was impossible for death to hold him, because the wages of sin is death. And Jesus died for us voluntarily, but he said when he was alive, before his death, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to rise it up again. Jesus looked like he lost control, but he was always completely in control because Jesus is God. And he willingly submitted himself to the will of men to fulfill the will of God without losing control. Like Samson, he pushed against the pillars of this unconquerable stronghold of death. And he brought it crashing to the ground, accomplishing more in his death than he did in his life. Just think, in his life, as wonderful as that life was, he touched so many people. The Sermon on the Mount is one of the most brilliant, brilliant philosophical exegesis ever spoken. And that is admired by even atheists, will tell you that. So often I run into people, I'm not a Christian, but I believe in the golden rule. That's such a funny statement. I'm not a Christian, but I like what Jesus said. Do to others as you have them do. In fact, I live by that. That's how much I'm not a Christian. I always like to tell them, look, you're so close to what I believe, mate. Just don't be ashamed to put a label on it. I believe in what Jesus said. It's the best philosophy ever given. But more than that, I believe in what Jesus did when he died for me. When he arose victorious, the spiritual atmosphere surrounding this globe was changed drastically and permanently. For Jesus, his name is Yeshua in Hebrew. The salvation of Yahweh succeeded in saving us from the greatest arch enemy of the human race. It's what I call the divine judo throw. Satan really thought he got Jesus. He had him in a head hold. He had his foot on his chest. He had him down. He's counting 1, 2, 3. But no, he's up again. Wow, on the count of 3. Didn't even get to 4. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same, that through his death he might destroy the one who has power of death. That is the devil. That's what they call the divine judo throw. Through his death he destroyed the one who has power over death. Oh, someone should get excited and yell amen the next time I say that. Whoa, through his death he destroyed the one who has power over death, the devil. Whoa, hallelujah. And John echoes this in 1 John 3:8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The works of the devil are destroyed, and that's good news, my friend. That's why the gospel is called good news. So the power of Satan has been destroyed in our life, and that's looking at the past resurrection. Let's look at the future resurrection quickly. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 says, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And 1 Corinthians 15:54, which my sister shared before I told you she preached my message. When this corruption is put on incorruption, the mortal put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Victory. There's victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. Some of you are old enough to know that, or young enough, as the case may be, Cecily. Amen. This is a spectacular and the wonderful future scenario. If we limit the glorious past event to only its future application, we've missed a grand portion, because Jesus says to us in Luke 20:36, we are children of the resurrection. We are children of the resurrection. He is the resurrection. We are children of the resurrection. So what is the present tense application, appropriation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. Keep saying amen. I'll keep preaching, Norm. So let's review some of the present tense benefits. Number one, very similar to Wednesday night message, a little bit of a different angle on it. Number one, the deliverance from spiritual death. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:4-5, God who's rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved Christ, by grace have you been saved. You see, a lot of people think that they're alive, but they're the walking dead. They're walking around today, and I tell you surely, as I'm standing before you today, if you live once, you'll die twice. If you're born twice, you'll die once. I'll say it again. I lost myself. I know it makes sense. It makes sense, but you know what I'm saying. If you're born only once, you will die twice. But if you're born twice, you will die once. What do I mean? If you're just born as a human being through the birth canal, as it were, the first water birth, and you are not born again spiritually, you will die twice. Now, why do I say you will die twice? Because physically your body will die, and the Bible calls that sleep. But spiritually, your spirit will die and spend eternity separated from God. That is not a state that I desire for eternity. And if you have any logical sense today and have not yet given your heart to Jesus Christ, and I don't mean to offend you, but I just implore you, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, give your heart to Jesus today. And then you will be born again, you see. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you can't be an inheritor of the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, I mean, even some great, he was kind of like a bishop, you know. There in the Sanhedrin of Rome, he was perhaps on the level of like cardinals today. But he didn't know. And Jesus said, you're a ruler of Israel and you don't know these things. You must be born again, Nicodemus. You must be born from above, spiritually. Amen. He even said, can I enter my mother's womb again and be born? There's no such thing as reincarnation. The Bible says it's appointed unto every man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Don't cop out. Don't buy into a false teaching, because reincarnation gives you a false hope that you're going to have another chance. There's no second chance. Jesus said Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom and the rich man was suffering in the flames of hell, he said, they can't come to you and you can't come to them. And even if someone would come back from the dead, they wouldn't believe. Jesus has come back from the dead. So believe. Believe today when you're alive, because it'll be too late the day you die. I only say that to you. You know, people, it's not popular today to talk about death and hell and all that. But you know what? If I really love you the way Jesus really loves you, I've got to warn you that the consequences of being born once are dying twice. And the second death is not something I desire for anybody. I will give my life's blood by God's grace, spend my last farthing by God's grace, to go to the ends of the earth. I'm ready to go to the Philippines in May and June, because Thailand hasn't opened up. But if we're just reaching Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and we're not reaching the uttermost parts of the earth, we're fulfilling 75% of the Great Commission. And I want to fulfill 100% of the Great Commission in my lifetime. Someone before said there are 2 billion people who are acknowledging the resurrection of Jesus Christ today. And that includes all the liturgical churches and all the marginal groups, and I won't name them, you know them. But my daughter said to me once, my 3-year-old daughter, in a prayer meeting, she'd just been down on her knees, and she got up and she said to me, Daddy, it's so simple. I said, what's so simple, honey? She said, every Christian just talks to 2 people and then Jesus can come back. She got it. She nailed it right on the head. If each of us 2 billion can go and reach another 4 billion, then 6 billion will be saved. Well, maybe we need to reach 3. Let's do that. Let's each of us 2 billion reach 3 billion, and that's 6 billion, and then 8 billion, and we're covered. But the problem is that many people we reach in Australia have heard before. And one great evangelist said, why should I preach the gospel twice to one person when there is one person that has not heard it once? Why should I keep preaching the gospel now? And I'm not disparaging Australian mission. That's what I'm spending my blood on today. My blood, sweat and tears, my time, talent and treasure is poured into this Australian mission. But I want, when the veil of COVID lifts, to be able to go across the seas and to preach the gospel. As Paul said in Romans 15:22, I determined to preach Christ where he was not named, that I might not build on another man's foundation. That is the apostolic call. That is the missionary call. That is the church planting call. And that is the mandate and need of the church today. And I will pray until my knees turn to camels, like camels, leathery, for everyone in Australia to get saved. But I also want the people in Indonesia to be saved. I want the people in North Korea to be saved. I've been in North Korea 9 times, subject of another sermon. I have won government officials to the Lord there, subject of another sermon. And I don't say that lightly, and I don't say that proudly. By God's grace, I've been there. God will open a door for you that no man can close. I've been to Irkutsk in Russia and preached on church planning. The next week, the church doubled in size by two. I've been to Myanmar, taught in Bible colleges and done medical clinics in Thailand, seen church planted again and again and again. Hundreds and thousands of people come to Christ. And new churches in Muslim areas that never had churches in 2,000 years. When we found that out, there's a district in Thailand that hasn't had a church 2,000 years past the resurrection. I said, that is unacceptable. Not on my watch. So we went back there and we did three medical clinics and a church started, and it's still going today. We have to be determined like the Apostle Paul to preach Christ where he was not named. I'm not saying all of you are going to be called. Well, let's say this. All of you are called for overseas mission. Now, that's going to shock you, but I'm going to say it to you like this. You're called to pray, to pay, or to play. Pray, all of us did. We did before, right? We prayed, and that's strong. Pay means support. When you tithe to this church, if you tithe to this church, you will empower this church to be able to fulfill the mandate of God without financial constraint. Three, and you're called to play. That means you're called to go yourself. You're called to go into the fray, onto the front line. And you know what? It's not as hard as it may sound. You know what? You thought, I just did communion today. I just did a word today. When you go overseas, mate, those guys look at you. You are a prophet. An anointing's going to come upon you according to their expectation. And you're going to be there. Maybe you pray for someone's back, wants to get healed. This is not in my notes, brothers and sisters. It's in my heart, though. If you pray for someone's back, wants to get healed, and it was healed, well, you go overseas, and you're going to have an anointing on you for healing like Daniel Kalender, like Reinhard Bonnke, like John G. Lake. Because God honors when you cross the culture for him. If you can't cross the culture, cross the street. You know there's a university across the road there? Subject of another sermon. One, deliverance from spiritual death. I didn't even get to it yet. We're malaid in life. You know, Adam was the first to die and we're all born in spiritual death, but God puts a new spirit within us. I love that. I love that. Ezekiel, I love the Old Testament. Who loves the Old Testament? Wow. I pray for the rest of you. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I'll put within you, and I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. He delivers us from spiritual death through the divine judo throw, and he gives us a new spirit. God can't live in the unholiness of the human heart, so he creates a holy of holies for his Holy Spirit to live within you, a new heart. Not just his spirit, but a new spirit within you, a new chamber within you for the holiness of God to dwell. It can't be tainted by the sin of your mind or your body or your heart. Two, restoration of spiritual breath. Not often talked about restoration of spiritual breath, but nevertheless, it is a reality. What do I mean by that? After Jesus rode in John 20:22, he appeared to the disciples in the upper room and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And this is the restoration of what Adam lost. You see, the Bible says that God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, and that's why his name is Adamah. It means dust. And man became a living soul. What's a living soul? The union of the spirit and the body. God gave Adam the breath of life, but also his own life, Zoe. But Adam forfeited that, and that's why we were born without that breath. And so Jesus restores to us spiritual breath. An exercise you can do. Often do it. Think of something about yourself that you don't like. It's very difficult to do because you just had communion. You're feeling all fresh and clean. But maybe Monday Arvo, you'll be thinking differently. Sit down for a minute. Lord, I take that headache. I take that anger and I breathe it out now. I breathe in afresh of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Do it, brothers and sisters, and remain in that place until you feel the tangible presence of God, the peace of God, the Spirit of God, and then go out with that Spirit to bless those around you. Spiritual breathing works, my friend. The Bible speaks a lot about meditation. Now, Eastern meditation is dangerous because it's unfocused. You open up your heart and you focus on nothing, and demons can come in. Don't ask me how I know that. I've experienced that. That's how I know that. But when you meditate on God's Word, you meditate on a life-giving thing. The Word of God created the universe. The Word of God has creative power. When you breathe out anything negative you think about yourself and you breathe in the Holy Spirit, Zoe, life, breath, pneuma in Greek, It means breath. It means spirit. It means wind. So you breathe that pneuma into you, where we get the word pneumatic. When Adam sinned, he lost the divine breath and he could no longer be inspired. But today you can be inspired. The spirit can be in you. Today you can be enthusiastic. Theos can be in you. Enthusiastic means full of God. Inspired means full of the spirit. Are you inspired today? Are you enthusiastic today? I want to hear a hallelujah. He is risen. Hallelujah. And he's restored to me spiritual breath. Amen. Number three, he's given me justification and righteousness. If I would have a favorite word in the New Testament Greek, I think it would have to be justification. You'll find out why in a minute. It's a very legal word, and we use it in our legal system. He was justified. It means that the penalty for his sin was paid, basically, although they don't word sin. His crime was cared for, either by his sentence or by a fine, but he was justified. He was accused, and then he was justified. Jesus was delivered for our offenses and rose again for our justification. Which sin was taken care of at the cross, but justification was taken care of at the resurrection. What does justification mean? Legal term, it means to be acquitted of guilt and to be reckoned righteous as if we'd never sinned. My pastor used to say, very bad English, used to say, justified, remember, justified, never sinned. You've heard that before, some of you? Yeah. You're old if you grew up in the 50s, 60s, 70s. But you know what justified means in Greek? Dikaio. You know what dikaio means? It means the restoration of innocence. That's why I like that word, dikaio. The restoration of innocence. I was decaying and Eve in the garden. I can do anything except sin. I was going to say touch that tree, but that's the definition of sin, touching that tree. Oh, this is great, my friends. As far as the east is from the west, God has removed our sin from us. Psalm 103:12. Because of what Jesus did, God has made us righteous in his sight and given us the gift of righteousness. What does righteousness mean? It means to have right standing with God, to have a right to sit next to God. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, and he said, you will sit at my right hand if you overcome. Wow. It's not too pretentious. My destiny is to live forever at the right hand of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's what God did for me because he justified me. He took me from darkness and he gave me light. He restored my innocence. I'm innocent now. Like that baby there in the arms of my father. Fourthly, he's given us hope. Spoke about hope this morning. I told you, she preached my sermon. Peter launched his first epistle with a statement of praise. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his abundant mercy, he's begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope. What's hope? Hope is desire married to expectation. You want something, but you're expecting to receive it. Remember that little boy in the cornfield down on his knees? Lord, give me a kitty cat. He had hope. His mother didn't. His mother was doing a religious trick on him. A spiritual device. Blame it on God, kid, if you don't get a kitten. God wanted that kid to have a kitten. His mommy couldn't stand in the way. Bet all the kids are in Sunday school right now. Romans 5:17. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Christ Jesus. My friend, I want you to reign in life today. Some people don't like when I say that. They say that's the abundant life theology. That's the wealth and health theology. Well, if you want the poverty and sickness theology, you can have it. But I'm having the biblical theology that said that I should reign in life. What does it mean? I reign over the power of Satan. Satan has no power. I said on Friday morning, Jesus said, I give you the keys. All power in heaven and earth is given me. Why didn't he say all power in hell is given to me? Hell has no power. It's as simple as that. You're going to reign in life because the devil was thrown down at the cross. Satan was defeated. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And you know why he crawls on his belly. He's been disarmed and defeated. Hallelujah. Paul goes on to tell us in Ephesians 2:12, we at one time had no hope without God in the world. But no, we're not without God today. We're with God. And so we're hopeful people. New hope. We have a new hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You were once time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. And now we've been transported, grafted into the nation of Israel, into God's kingdom, into God's people, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Death took care of sin. Resurrection took care of justification, took away my sin and restored my innocence. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. I love that. I love the Old Testament. Who loves the Old Testament? Praying for the rest of you still. The God of hope filled us with all peace and joy in believing. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy. When you have hope, you have peace and joy. When you have that desire, meted with that expectation, one day I'm going to see Jesus in his glory, you have joy. And you know what else you have? You have something that's very needed today. Something that's very rare today, but something that you can appropriate. I want you to appropriate it today. Remember, reach out and grab that watch like little Johnny. Don't just believe it in your head. Oh, he's part of joking again. Grab that watch while you can, while the offer's still available, right? Before he changed his mind, thank God that our Lord never changes his mind. 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father's given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world doesn't know him is that doesn't know us is because it didn't know him. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and it does not appear yet what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we will see him as he is. We will see God as he is, because we will be like him. 1 John 3:3. Everyone who has this hope purifies himself as he is pure. You want the key to holiness? You want the key to a sanctified life? You want the key to purity? I know there's another word for it. Purity, holiness. Hope in Jesus. Live in the expectation of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Live in the expectation of the physical resurrection of your human body. That's why Jesus said, he that lives and believeth in me shall never die. Because if you're alive when he comes, you will be resurrected physically from this earth to meet him forever in the air. Wow. There's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet by and by. Hallelujah. Jesus was a healer before the resurrection. You know that? How much more when he came out of the grave with passion and power, he will heal completely body, soul, and spirit. His name is Yahuwah Rapha. And he says to you today, John 5:6, he says to you today, do you desire to be whole? He said to the blind man, what do you want? What do you want? Say it. Tell Jesus today what you want. Appropriate his healing today. Tell him what you want. Be bold. Grab that watch. Grab that kitty cat. Don't go home without a watch and a kitty cat. Spiritual one. Spiritual watch. Spiritual kitty cat. Okay, appropriate the promise of God today. Don't go home sick. We're going to have a time of healing at the altar today. I will stay with you until God does a miracle in your life. We're not going to take no for an answer. This is a cancer-free zone. Amen? 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. You see how the death and the resurrection go together? Die to sin, live to righteousness. Our sin died at the cross and now we're living through the resurrection. By his wounds you have been healed. Peter puts it in the past because as your forgiveness was bought on the cross, so was your healing. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forgive not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Psalm 103:1-3. Who loves the Old Testament? Oh, I'm winning you over. Halfway to go. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him smitten by God, stricken and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought our peace. You see how he goes through that? He was crushed for our iniquities, spiritual. Upon him was the chastisement that brought our peace, emotional. With his wounds we are healed, physical. It's all done at the cross for you, complete spiritual, mental, emotional, physical healing is given to you by the cross of Jesus Christ. And this is fulfilled in the life of Matthew. Matthew 8:16-17. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Some of your Bible says griefs and sorrows. Mistranslation. Matthew got it right, taking it right from the Greek Septuagint. And if you look in your Bible translation of Isaiah 53, highlight the words with one of those word search programs, shows you the original Hebrew is according to Matthew here, Matthew 8:17. He took our illness and bore our diseases. And what does took mean and bore mean? A sacrificial goat, he took them outside the city. It means he carried them away at the cross. He carried them away. Now, some of you need to realize that our theology should not be based on our experience and our environment, and then the Word of God becomes subject to us. I'll give an example. I grew up in a church that didn't talk about divine healing. I never experienced divine healing. If I got sick or I cut myself, mummy would kiss it better. I think that helped because love has healing power. Love's a great placebo. But I was never taught or experienced divine healing. So my understanding of the Bible was subject to my experience and my environment. We need to correct that and put the Word of God here. The Word of God is the authority. My environment, thank God we're in a church that believes all the words of God. My experience is last. I'm not going to live my life according to my fate or my feelings. I'm going to live my life according to faith in the unfailable promises of God, whereby are given to us exceeding great precious promises, Peter says, that by these we can partake of the divine nature. There's at least 7,000 of them in the Bible, at least 20 for each day of the year. Just appropriate one of them today. Reach out and don't go home without your watch today. Reach out and grab something from God today. You're feeling dirty in your heart. You just can't get the victory over that sin. You just, every time you turn on the computer, it's leering its ugly head at you. Sin is crouching at your door. Appropriate the promise today. Go home with a heart as white as snow. Go home with a body free from fear. Go home with a body free from arthritis. Going to knock some arthritis out at the end of the message today. After Jesus arose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples. Sixthly, he's given us peace, wholeness, and prosperity. Peace, wholeness, and prosperity. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples and said, peace. Most probably he speaks in Greece, that's Irene or Irene, and in Hebrew it's shalom. Most probably he appeared to them and said shalom, which is a Hebrew greeting. Shalom is a lot deeper than just peace. Peace be with you. God bless you. How does God want to bless you? What peace does he want to give you? Peace. Say, someone said something? All spiritual blessing, but not just spiritual. 8 days later, his disciples were alone again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. Peace be with you. Shalom is rich with spiritual term with multiple meanings. It includes peace, rest, welfare, health, wholeness, happiness, prosperity in every area of your life. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. What's peace? We're going to unpack it. Through the mind-piercing pain of Calvary, crowned with thorns so we could experience being crowned with life. You are crowned with a crown from God today. Everyone in this room who has opened their heart, ask God to forgive them. Receive Jesus as their Savior. You're a princess and a prince today. Some of you are even wearing tiaras. High down there. Those with tiaras, you're not being pretentious. You're being real. Princes and princesses of Almighty God. Someone said that John G. Lake used to walk like a prince because he knew his authority. He knew who he was. I'm a child of God, and I'm going to reign in this life and in the one to come. That's the best. The peace of God passes all understanding. People today suffer from anxiety. They label it. He's got ADD. He's got this, that, and the other. He's got DDT. He's got XYZ. Hey, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. Appropriation. The boy said thank you to the pastor. When he received the watch, he believed it. With thanksgiving, and the peace of God that passes all understanding should guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God that passes all understanding will replace your anxiety. Your pain will be overtaken with peace. Your pain will be overtaken with pleasure. It's going to be feeling good to work out, to climb the stairs, to touch your toes. I rebuke that alarm in Jesus' name. Woo, that felt good. Will you love me if I go 2 minutes over time? I'm not asking for three, but if it goes to three, love covers a multitude of sins. Make it 10, James. Thank you. Let's compromise and do about 5, shall we? I may just finish on time, but don't watch the clock. Watch Jesus. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Despising the shame. Jesus was disgraced so you would have his grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus took your shame and gave you his glory. And oh, I like that. Whoa, my hair stood up. Whoa. Jesus took your shame and gave you his name. Oh, I like that. Woo. Oh, that's rhyming. Good timing. I'm chiming. Sorry. Christina's affecting me. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul is unpacking to the Thessalonian church, the Greek church, the Gentile church, the meaning. What is it when we Jews say shalom? And he's thinking, how am I going to say to these people shalom in a language they'll understand? This is what he says. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what peace is. That's what shalom is. When I say to you shalom today, I mean may your spirit, soul, body be kept blameless till the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's God's will for you. That's the standard of God's word. If my experience doesn't meet up to it, and if the environment doesn't meet up to it, I ain't going to go home and someone's going to say to you, nah, don't listen to him. The Bible is a history book, not an operation manual. I said, what Bible are you reading? Wow. Amen. I like the prayer of Jabez. Lord, help me not to be a pain. Seventhly, daily renewal. Daily renewal. Very important. When you appropriate, you're feeling good now, right? Sometimes you feel good. I remember when I got saved when I was 16, I used to come home and I could be so excited. My dad and mum were in bed. I'd come stand at the foot of my dad. The pastor was saying this and, oh, was saying this and, oh, Jesus, this and healing that. And, oh, victory over the devil. And he says, yeah, that's what you're saying tonight. I'll see you in the morning. My father got it, you know. He realized that sometimes the euphoria can't sustain you. The euphoria. Ever come from a conference and you're just like, on the wings of an eagle, I find myself lifted high above the world. The scene now is born in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Seventhly, daily renewal. 2 Corinthians is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed daily. Hallelujah. You might be losing some hair, but remember you're an heir to all the promises of God. Hallelujah. And the less hair you have, the more the glory of God can be reflected on your life. If you're going gray, the Bible says that's a crown of wisdom. I love the Bible. It's so positive. Someone was talking to me about losing weight the other day. I said, look, the Bible says your paths drop fatness. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Show me one verse about being skinny. He must increase, but I must decrease. Okay. You got it. Isn't it good to be in a country where you can be fat? I mean, imagine being in North Korea. There's only one fat person there. I know, I've been there. I didn't meet him. We nearly did. We nearly met his father. We had to stay in our hotel all day long. They didn't let us outside. And the next day we found out that Kim Jong-il had been in town. He took down the only advertising billboard in the town because it was higher than his father's image. But we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. We pray for the people of North Korea today, God. We pray that they be reached by the gospel. We know many Chinese and South Koreans, Americans and others are diligent to bring the gospel to that country. We pray there be a mighty revival in that country. Maybe when we go to heaven, we'll find out that the house church movement in that country was greater than that we heard about in China and Iran, Lord. Maybe they're 20, 30, 50% Christian. We don't know. But Jesus, lift them up to you. Cleanse them in your blood. Set them free. We pray we appropriate the promises that we're hearing today for North Korea. For every communist nation in the world, for every Muslim nation in the world, and perhaps even more importantly, for the atheistic, materialistic, capitalistic countries of the world. We pray that you break through today, Jesus, by your power, that people would have the veil lifted from their mind and they hear the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they be set free from their sin and given dikaio, restoration of innocence, in Jesus' name. The cells in our physical body are constantly being renewed. Fresh blood travels through our veins. And that's how it removes the toxins. And it infuses every cell with life-giving oxygen from the lungs and nutrients and the digestive system. So it is with our spirits. So it is with our spirits. The blood of Jesus flows through us constantly, removing the toxin of the lower nature and infusing us with the resurrection life of the Word of God and the Spirit, constantly renewing and maintaining our state of victory and righteousness. You've obtained righteousness. You will attain righteousness. Today you need to maintain righteousness. That is life's biggest challenge. Maintaining righteousness. Daily being renewed, daily overcoming. If you start the day in the Word of God, I tell you, you will have a victorious day. You'll have a victorious day. Satan will come knocking at your door and you'll send Jesus to answer, and Jesus will say, Adrian doesn't live here anymore. Jesus has set up shop. Amen? Don't just let him in your kitchen and your bathroom. Let him into every room. Help him be Lord. I guarantee you, if you let Jesus in your heart, you're going to be a happy fella. You're going to be a happy camper. The Bible says you'll be led out with joy. The trees of the fields will clap their hands before you. And the hills will break forth into singing. Someone said to me, when I got saved, it seemed that the grass got greener. The sky got bluer. The sunlight was just a little bit clearer. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eighthly, he gives us ultimate victory and total dominion. You see, that's what was taken from Adam and Eve by Satan. It was these two things that God promised. If you obey, I'll make you fruitful and you'll have dominion. I'll give you fruitfulness and I'll give you dominion. In fact, he gave them to Adam before he fell. I will give you fruitfulness and I will give you dominion. And when your restoration is restored, it is restored to you fruitfulness and dominion. Amen? Your life will be fruitful. I'll tell you quite clearly, your life will be fruitful. Amen. Take that promise. Read Psalm 1. Read Joshua 1. Meditate on his word day and night, and your path will be prosperous. You will have success in everything you do. That's what the Bible says. Success in everything you do. Amen. I got down on my knees one night, and I said, Lord, just feels like everything I do comes up a failure. Roses, that prophetic word there. I thought of that. That night, Jesus came to me. He stood at the foot of my bed. And he said, go to China. It happened. I was there for 20 years. Wow. Jesus took care of my every need in China. I could go out and order anything I wanted every day for 20 years in China. Jesus took care of all my need. The time I prayed that prayer, I didn't even have a job. I didn't have a brass razoo. What's a brass razoo? Gold coin. Hallelujah. I didn't have a halfpenny, but Jesus took care of me. Amen. There was a stage in our life in China. I had to go to America for 3 months on a fundraising tour. I needed to leave Vicky with $4,500 for 3 months' expenses, and I didn't have it. And I got an email that morning. I was saying, Vicky, I don't know what's going to do. I don't feel bad about leaving you here. But God said for me not to teach anymore and just depend upon him for my needs. And I got an email. This guy said, I just sent some money to you. And I said, how much was it? He said, why do you ask? It's like, it's rude to ask that of a donor. But I wanted Vicky and the kids to be able to live for 3 months. You know what he said? $4,500. What? What? That kitty cat just comes sailing through the air. Meow. Wow. That's my God. That's what God does when you're pleasing him. He has ways and means to supply that above and beyond your expectation. Because he's a good God and he doesn't lie. He says what he means and he means what he says. Ephesians 2, 4 and 6. God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's spiritually where you are today, is in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named in this world and that which is to come. Ephesians 1. It says that he has put all things under his feet, who is the head of the church. Guess what's between the head and the feet? The church. So where are all things? Where are the powers of the world to come? Under your feet today. You might think, I'm the lowest part of the church. You qualify. You qualify. I'm just a little pinky. You qualify. Isn't the word of God great? If you want a victorious experience this week, read the book of Ephesians. One chapter a day. No sin mentioned in there. It's God's view of the church. It's what he sees you as. He sees you as the finished product. That's sometimes we think, why didn't God smite me today? I just did such a heinous thing or heinous thing. I can't even pronounce heinous or heinous right. That's how rotten I am. God should smite you because God sees the finished product. He sees the church spotless without wrinkle. He's coming back for that bride, and that bride is you, my friend. If you're a male and that's uncomfortable, you just be the bridegroom. I'm okay with that. I'm a bridegroom, a friend of the bridegroom. That's okay. Wow. Must be time for an altar call. That's altar call music. I said 2 minutes. How is it now? Oh, I've still got four. I'm going to milk this four for all it's worth, friends. I'm going to milk this four for all it's worth. But we're on the last point. We're on the last verse, okay? On the last verse. Ephesians 1:16. I've quoted most of it already. I don't cease to pray for you, remembering you in my prayers. New Hope Church, brothers and sisters, visitors, people from other churches. We're all one church. I love seeing the Bible League and the National Day of Prayer represented and another church represented here today. I love the body of Christ. I love the church. I love the church. I don't like people who criticize, oh, the church this, the church that. Oh, no, church today. My goodness. The church is God's glorious bride. Love me, love my church. We'll travel through this world together. Apologies to Lobo. Ephesians 1:16. I don't cease to give thanks for you, New Hope, mentioning in you my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, having the eyes of your understanding enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you. What is the hope to which he's called you? What are the riches of your inglorious inheritance in the saints? What is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us that believe? Power towards us that believe. Some of you thought he said, flower. Power towards us that believe. Dunamis. Dynamic, miraculous working. Power to us that believe. I love that word. According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this name but in the world to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That guy can quote the better Bible more than I can read my own printing. You see, if the power of the world to come is under your feet, and under Christ's feet, and Christ is the head, it's under your feet because you're the body. Amen? Don't get afraid of Satan. Satan's afraid of you. The devil flees when he sees the weakest saint upon their knees. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. You all like the devil fleeing more than you love the Old Testament. The devil's going to flee from you. Flee. Like a dog with his tail between his legs, wimping and hollering like the loser he is all the way back to hell. Amen. Don't say that lightly. That's where he belongs. Devil and me, we agree. I hate him and he hates me. This is the restoration of the dominion Adam and Eve lost in the beginning. This speaks of absolute victory over every negativity we face in this world, not just historically, but futuristically, but right here, right now. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Great, James. Faith. Hallelujah. Romans 16:20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Whoa. Feel good? Do it with your right foot. Just a little.
wiggle, left, right, left, right. Oh, it feels good. Feels good.
Begin claiming your resurrection rights now. Jesus bought them, and they're yours to enjoy. Amen. May the God of peace sanctify you, spirit, soul, and body, and may you be kept blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, and he will do it. We finished at 11:30 on the dot, but we shall have an altar call. Let's close our eyes for a minute. I'm going to ask you to do something bold and daring. Like I said before, if you've just been born once, I'd like to give you a chance to be born again today. For God's glory, but for your benefit, because you'll live forever with him in heaven and on earth, and he'll live forever with you. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. If you've not yet given your life to Jesus Christ today, not yet had a dikaio, or restoration of innocence experience in your life, I'd ask you now just to raise your hand where you are. Raise your hand high. God bless you, brother. I see that hand. God bless your sister. I see that hand. And we're going to pray with these. If you didn't raise your hand, raise your heart, raise your voice to Jesus now. And we're going to pray together. We're going to give our hearts to Jesus because we're going to live a victorious life from today forward. Okay, let's pray with these that have risen their hands to Jesus today. Let's pray together with them, shall we? Heavenly Father, I give my heart to you today. I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for me and he rose for me to take away my sin and to restore my innocence. Come into my heart, Lord God. Cleanse me from all sin. Now I am your child and I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give these others a warm welcome that have made a stand for Jesus today. Welcome to God's family. I come down the front and Brother James and Adrian and John will fix you up with a Bible in a minute. Now, if anyone here needs healing, we made some bold declarations today, didn't we? We made some bold declarations because, God bless you, brother, we're going to stand on the promises today. We're not going to sit on the premises. We're going to stand on the promises today. If you need healing today, if you need financial breakthrough, if you need an emotional breakthrough or a relationship breakthrough, you're estranged from your parents or your children, I know how hard that can be. Come to Jesus today. He wants to restore you. He wants to do for you today everything we talked about. You reach out your hand today. You grab that watch. That kitty cat is for you, my friend. Pastors and elders, don't mind. Just come forward if you need prayer. We'll switch the mic off now, and if the prayer team and the pastors and elders don't mind to join us, just come forward if you need prayer today. For anything, God sees it all. Arthritis, yep, God's got that. Emotional healing, God's got that. Relationship, God's got that. Economy, God's got that. Some of you got something different. Maybe it's not a problem. You say, oh, Pastor Chris, when you talked about going to the Philippines, I want to go to the Philippines. I want to go to North Korea. I want to change some communist. I want to change some Muslim. I want to change some unsaved people. You can come forward and pray for a prayer of victory. You don't have to pray a prayer from a state of rejection and failure. You can pray a prayer from a state of victory today. Do bold things for God. If God's your partner, you and he are majority and will overcome the world.